So I would say there actually is a very specific way of us talking about stewardship that goes beyond the way that most people hear the word. If you say stewardship in the church, what do most people think about? Money, okay? And that's part of stewardship. That's absolutely true, because being a steward who does stewardship is actually to take care of what's been given to you, and God does give you even the money that's in your hands. And we will be talking about that today. But the way that we Lutherans think and talk about stewardship should be through the lens of vocation. Okay? We've talked about this before. Vocation is the role that we are playing in any given moment in order to serve our neighbor. If we're mothers, we have children to serve. If we're teachers, we have students to serve. And if we're students, we have teachers to serve, right? Talking about stewardship through this lens informs us of our duties to one another, not out of blind obedience, not out of an effort to win our salvation, but because the person in front of us is a person for whom Christ died. Today we're going to talk about vocation and stewardship in a particular way. We're going to talk about the vocation of the churchgoer. Okay? Now, we have all been called to this place by God to hear His word and receive His sacraments. And we've all said that we would like to be members of this particular church, to support the ministry of God in this place. This church, then, even if she should have warts, even if she should have troubles, is our home. In the home, right, the family isn't invalidated because the husband loses an arm, or the wife gets cancer, or the son gets a boo-boo, or the daughter says, "I hate you," and slams the door. In a similar way, even if things in the church haven't gone or aren't going the way that we think they should, this is still our home. God has placed us here to be a family together. And we have a duty to one another, because we've made promises to one another in our membership vows and out of the Holy Scripture. This is the place that we are to love and support one another. Now, before I continue, I do not want you thinking that I am thinking of any particular circumstance. Okay? What we're talking about this month in terms of stewardship will be necessary reminders that we are to live in the love of God with one another, no matter if something comes up or if it doesn't. We do this because we are redeemed people of Jesus Christ, living out our salvation in this world with one another. To that end, let's explore what our Lord has to say about the relationship of all of us in this place in particular. Let's start with the man in the pulpit. For pastors, 1 Timothy 3, 2-4 says, "The overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect." This is about the pastor. This is what he owes the congregation and the people around him. Paul goes on to say he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. The pastor needs to continue to be humbled before the word of the Lord and rely on it solely. Of the pastor, Paul says in Titus 1, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Your pastor must be in the word, must know the word, so that he can refute any argument against it, but also that he might be able to comfort any weary or grieving souls. But the church isn't just about what the pastor can give you or what he should be doing. It's also about what the hearers, the congregants, do. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. This is about cheerful giving, right? That we give to the church to support the pastor and the ministry of the gospel that he does in this place. And this way, too, we also support the missions of our church, and specifically, in our case, our school. That might be a small dagger for some, and for others a blessed reminder of your continued faithfulness. Now, to back up this statement, Paul says in Galatians 6:6-7, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And in 1 Timothy, he says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Is there a certain amount that we're supposed to give to the Lord in order to curry his favor? No, not at all. But when we're like Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit about how much they gave and their motivations for doing so, or really in this case, holding back, right? You remember this story. The Holy Spirit did kill them right then and there. Now, I'm not saying that the Spirit is going to work in such a way today, but our motivations and our exuberance in giving should be good. As well, then, for your duties in the church, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Yes, we hold our pastors in high regard, but we live in peace with one another, seeking out the good for each other. And a way we do this is what the writer to the Hebrews tells us. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. We don't obey blindly. We're not called to that. But we obey when the word of God is preached rightly to us, looking out for the needs of others before ourselves. We obey, which is to say we listen, we appreciate, we hear, we do, because our Lord has given us his word to understand this world and what he brings to us through the church. He brings us life and salvation. And we are called then to live in peace and harmony with one another, seeking out the good of our neighbor, that we might take care of our family here in this place, to be good stewards. This is our first understanding of stewardship through vocation. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit that having with our mouths received the holy sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.